Welcome to Small Town Tales, a podcast where we hear stories of the paranormal, haunting legends, and all things spirit. Join us as we explore the unknown. Now, here's your host, C.L. Thomas.
I'm C.L. Thomas with another episode of Small Town Tales. My special guests are dear friends of mine, all the way from Stratford, England. They are Helen Lawson and Mark Lovett Harris. Together, they are the Warrens of England. Helen is a clairvoyant, and Mark is an open skeptic who tries to capture evidence using various methods and equipment. This dynamic duo certainly brings a positive energy to the paranormal field. But before we get started, I just wanted to mention one thing on a personal note. Helen is also a Reiki and healer, and just a really quick story. I've had a really hard time this past year with depression and some other things that were going on in my personal life. And I did a Reiki session with Helen, and it really worked. There's just nothing to describe how powerful this session was. The next morning I woke up, I was happy, everything was going great, and I don't know, we're going to talk about how all of this came about. The couple also owns an enchanting 15th century Tudor building that has a magical charm and is also very haunted. So we're going to talk a little bit about their building. We're going to talk about their life as the Warrens of England and some of the healing energy that Helen has learned and how she uses this energy.
What started you guys on your journey?
Well, shall I begin?
Yes, that's a good idea. Yeah.
Well, I've been seeing the spirit world and using my clairvoyant gifts since I was a child. I'm a natural born clairvoyant, so I kind of understood that the paranormal was real. And I remember being at school saying to the teacher, "But sir, you know, everything paranormal now will be normal in years to come." And he sent me out of the class and told me off because, you know, they didn't understand it. And I thought, I can't be the only one that understands. There is a spirit world out there. So I started my journey by being able to help people, doing readings, doing tarot readings for them and doing my healing throughout my life, knowing it's all real. There was never a question. I knew it was all real. In comes Mark. Met Mark a few years ago, and Mark wasn't so convinced.
I was a total skeptic. That's how I started my spiritual journey. My family all believe in the spiritual world, and they're all spiritualists, and at the spiritualist churches, and I heard all these wonderful and weird stories. Just didn't believe it. I just did not believe anything that was coming my way. But then I met Helen, and new things happened to me as well that I couldn't understand and couldn't get my head around. And now I call myself, in inverted commas, an open skeptic. Even though I've seen and heard things, I still try and make myself a skeptic so I can be objective.
Yeah,
that's so, where I am.
Yeah, exactly. So belief. So I use my senses to pick up the spirit world. So we'll go to a house and I will use my dowsing pendulum, my sixth sense, and tune into the building and see who has joined us for the day. Whereas Mark will then bring the equipment and he will set the equipment up everywhere. You know, we'll find the hot spots of the house and see if we can actually film it, pick it up, pick up sounds. And basically we do it not just to prove that the paranormal does exist, but also to prove to ourselves, because it's quite amazing seeing everything on camera, you know, the real deal, but also to help the person of the house, because they might have a haunting and they might be scared or they might not have a haunting. Most things can be debunked.
Everything can be debunked. But there are two or three things that I can't debunk. So that's just interesting, isn't it?
So that's kind of where we are with it, yes.
That's so interesting. A lot of people who are involved in the paranormal, one of the things they say is that it's really hard to have relationships work out, particularly with mediums and clairvoyants and sensitives, because for whatever reason, you're kind of like a lighthouse or something where all the spirits go to your house and things, and it interferes with relationships. How do you guys work through this kind of stuff?
I learned from a young age how to close off. So I always say to people, I do classes, psychic development classes, and a lot of people say to me, teach me to be psychic. And I'll say, really, what I'm going to be teaching you is how to close it off, because you don't want to be disturbed at nighttime from ghosties. So it's all about, really, so in the morning, so we've now, you know, we've got this as our business now. So we're coming to our amazing place. It is a very old house. I'm sure we'll talk more about that in a little bit. But we've got an old Tudor building where we've got our paranormal psychic healing center. And I start in the morning by opening up all my channels so I can switch on for the day. And then when we go home at night, I close down as much as I can. And it's called normalizing. So I try and normalize myself. So we can just go for a walk and go cycling and just have some fun. It's not all about, it's part of our life, but it's not, you know, we don't live and breathe it. We do do other things.
I just say hello to the building when I come in.
Yeah.
And then, because I think there are ghosties here. So I'll walk and say, morning, ghosties. And we'll get on with the day. But, you know, there are times when you feel and see things, and it doesn't really affect me.
No.
It doesn't affect me at all anyway. I just laugh at things most of the time on your road. Yeah.
He's the brave one, Crystal, because I get a little
bit... Or the stupid one.
Yes.
There's a thin line between bravery and stupidity, and I dance all along the line all the time.
Because I get a little bit scared because I can see something, I go, or I can feel it, and I go, oh, my God, that's really scary.
It's a pipe.
Whereas, you know, Mark's like, I can't feel anything. What is it?
Yeah. What was the noise?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. Any noise. Well, so then...
it's usually a pipe.
And my saying is... Oh, that spirit, that is. And it's become my catchphrase, that spirit, that is. Because everything I hear, I blame on spirits. Whereas Mark will say...
Well, central maybe, heating pipe.
Maybe it isn't, you know, maybe it's the wind. So when we do investigations, as soon as we find a scary, really scary spot, then Mark's the one, the brave one. He'll go on his own. He does all the lone vigils. He talks to the camera. He invites the spirit world in because he wants proof himself.
Yeah.
And,
I want more proof. I've had some proof.
Yeah.
I want more proof. I want more substantial proof. I want a ghost to come into my face and go, hi, I'm Bill.
Yeah.
This is what I did. This is where how old I am. May never happen that way, but that's what I want. I want that kind of proof.
It's quite funny, Crystal, because there's a place here in England called Cannock Chase, and it's a vast woodlands, and it's absolutely beautiful.
In our terms, it's vast.
In our terms, yeah. Probably, you know, in
US terms, it's just a little small.
Tiny woods.
Yeah.
But we love it. We go there at night to Cannock Chase
yeah.
because it's supposed to have lots of different things there. Black-eyed children, werewolves, demons, ghosts, UFOs, all sorts of things. And we go there
for a laugh,
and we'll see what we can see. And most of the time, you see some deer. We go, oh, deer! But I have said to Mark a few times, if a black-eyed child now did jump in front of, you know, you'd be so scared. He went, no, I wouldn't. I'd talk to us. I said, I hope you wouldn't.
I
hope you'd drive off.
I'd have to try and film it and talk to
you. He's like, do you think we've come all this way to drive off? No. So even then, I get nervous.
We're not Scooby-Doo.
Before we see them. So, yeah, so I do believe we share our world with lots of mythical creatures, mystical things, and different elementals and different spirits of different planets even. All in our one little world, and sometimes you are lucky enough to see them, and sometimes you're not. But we will just continue our little journey, won't we? And hopefully, we will find something that we can prove to the world. That
if nothing else, it's a very interesting hobby, isn't it?
Yeah, it is interesting. Yeah.
So I'm so fascinated because you guys can actually investigate castles and really old places. What are some of the unique places you guys got to go to?
We did.
Went to a really old castle in South Wales this weekend. Just gone. What was the castle called? It'll come to me in a minute.
We went to...
What was the name of the castle? Anyway, we went to a castle in South Wales. It'll come to me in a second. So I'd keep talking with yourselves. it was a fantastic castle.
We went to Cardiff Castle.
Yeah.
And we went to
Cardiff Castle.
We went to
just
another one in Gloucester. We've been to a couple of castles.
We've been to a few.
Yeah.
They escape your mind a little bit because they've all got weird and wonderful names in this country, and they're all different. But it's a fantastic castle. I cannot think what it was at the second, but it was a brilliant place, and I like going there because Goodrich Castle.
Goodrich Castle.
I like to go there because, I mean, Goodrich Castle is sort of 14th century, and been a fort there from before then on that site. And when you go there, they're all ruined, but you'll see holes in the wall where things were, or there's something there. You'll see a fireplace up there, and you'll see this, that. I try and work out what was there, what went there, and it's fantastic. It's a brilliant place. So it's spiritual in that sense, because you're thinking to yourself, how would I have lived here? What would I have done there? What's that hole for? What's this down here? And it's brilliant for that. I love old castles for that. We've got loads around us as well, so it's just brilliant. It's just brilliant for that.
And Mark has got a very good psychic nose, as I say, because he does smell the past. So, and the first thing, you know, he'll say is, oh, God, I just got this sensation. It's like the smell. Because we were saying the moat around the castle must have been rather smelly. Because the toilets, you know, they were just
the
like...
The history of oh, terrible.
You know,
really.
when they used the loo as such, they would just, it would just go down a hole and into the moat.
It
must have been awful. But you can smell that.
Yeah, there's a jail around here called Derby Jail. And inside there, it is absolutely awful. The smell is terrible, but nobody could smell it. It was so weird. It was an awful smell. I couldn't stay in there.
Yeah,
it was so strange.
They would have had 20 in one little cell, 22.
Yeah,
and they would all have, you know, there's no toilet or anything.
And they'd been there for days.
They'd have been in there for days.
Yeah.
So you can imagine. Whereas that, so Mark always picks up the smells, which I do find comical. But the castle, because the spirit world, there's a few different types of spirit world. There's time zones, time slips, where you go somewhere and you see a spirit, or you've just actually seen a recording of the past, or you have really seen the past. Mm. And then you've got like the ghosts of castles, where it was say there'd been a battle, and it's all about emotion. So all that heartbreak and emotion that would have been there with people dying and losing their lives is still there. So you go there sometimes and you can hear echoes of the past, or you might hear a bayonet, a gun sound. You think, what was that? A gun sound. There was lots of cannonballs there, wasn't there?
Where it had
been under attack.
Yeah.
Now, that's not just damaged the castle. That's left an imprint. So you might just sleep in a castle and then hear... a cannon shot at night. So sometimes it's not just the ghosts that are there. It's what's been happening there. It's the battles that have been going on. But it's fantastic. I mean, where we live now in Stafford, where we're based in Stafford, we have our own castle, Stafford Castle, don't we?
We do, yeah, Stafford Castle.
It's amazing. I mean,
Stafford Castle, that again, would be 12th century.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a site there before then. That would have gone back to Roman times. There's always been a settlement in Stafford.
Yeah. So even when you walk up towards the castle, you can sense the settlement around the place. There was hundreds and thousands of bodies that will still be under the ground as you're walking up.
Do you guys ever get evidence that is that old? For instance, like in America, the oldest evidence we get is Victorian, sometimes colonial.
Yeah,
do you ever get anything old?
You know, we've got like Roman bath. You've got the castles. Some of the castles are in really good. They're really good, aren't they, how they are? You can see the castle we were at the other day. You can see where the kitchens were. You can see the dungeons. They're all still there. It's not like... So you've got that evidence.
Yeah.
You've got the evidence of, like, the metal detector, you know, when they found all the Anglo-Saxon gold
under
the trees. And
yeah. I think... But you experienced evidence when... We went to Nantwich, that town. There was a battle in Nantwich, the English Civil Wars in the 1640s, and you heard the guns and the fighting, didn't you? That's kind of 1640s to 1645. So, yeah, you'll sometimes pick up things like that. But I think mainly people seem to tend to pick up evidence from the sort of 1700s and what have you. So it's a bit strange. I always think it's a bit strange. They pick up things like caveman times, or why have you not picked up a ghost dinosaur? I don't know why that is, but it always seems to be around the 1700s mark or 1800s.
Well, they do say that, you know, during that time, it was when religion was quite rife. Mm. So people would say, what's worse than death? And what's worse than death is going to hell. That's what they would have believed. They were so scared in the 17th century. They were so scared of going to hell. So when they eventually died, they say, you know, when you see the light and you go to the light, they were scared of that in case it was hell. So they stayed here. They chose to stay here.
Yeah, especially bad people. If you were tried in a court of law, you knew you weren't going to heaven. You don't want to go to hell. So what do? You stay where you are.
Stay here.
So I think religion did push home the heaven and hell story.
Yeah.
And if you were bad, you're going to hell. You don't want to go to hell, so you stay here. And that's why the theory is that's why ghosts seem to be around that sort of time.
That's right.
Yeah.
And they say, I mean, you do get modern ghosts, but they do say there's not a lot of modern ghosts because we kind of understand now that we all, I mean, psychics, even in the last 40 years, have become quite trendy. When I was at school, it was awful. You know, it was only a psychic, whereas now it's quite, oh, are you a psychic? It's different. It's no longer burn the wind. It's wow, come into our coven. So they also, people like it now. And I think we all understand now that when you pass over, you might see a white light, you might see your loved ones, and it's good to go and join them. So that's why there's not many modern spirits now, because they do tend to pass over. But on that note, I do hypnosis as well. And I used to do regression, and I used to take people back to their past lives. And I used to say to them, you know, go back to your last few breaths, and they'd take a few breaths, and I'd say, where are you going now? And they'd go quiet, and they'd say, home. And every one of them said the same, they all said home. So I started thinking, okay, so we're going home to the spirit world, and then you have your loved ones join you, your friends, your family, your children, your grandchildren, and you seem to stay in the spirit world for a certain amount of time, and then you all sort of get reborn again. And that seems to be a natural progression. I have had a few people that have come for regression, and they've had such a violent death in the last life, they've come straight into this life, and they haven't even gone home. They've just come straight into this life. So I think it's different for everybody. And there is something called split souls, where half of your soul stays in heaven and stays at home, and half of your soul gets reborn again. And then when that other soul finally gets reborn again, you meet them. And, you know, you just say, God, I've met someone. He's my twin flame. He's my opposite equal. It's usually because it is your split soul that you got split up as such in heaven, and both came down at different times. So there's so much I could talk about. There's so many complications with
There is so much to talk about.
But at the end of the day, yes, there are more 8 Victorian ghosts and then there is modern ghosts, definitely.
Yeah.
But I know what you're saying. I've never seen a caveman.
Never seen a caveman.
No.
You know, you never picked up on anything.
No, a dinosaur.
But having said that, some ghosts and some beings are just recordings, aren't they?
Cause yes.
Rocks and bricks have got silicon in them. Silicon is, you know, it records things. So a lot of these things were recordings. So rather than being a ghost, it's a recording, which is different, isn't it?
Yes.
So, I mean, there was something, I remember seeing something a while back in Chester, in this country, which is a massive Roman fort, Chester, massive Roman city. A guy saw a complete Roman army fly through his wall.
Yeah.
So it does happen when they go back to Roman times.
Yeah.
But that was probably just a recording that was held in the walls. So, yeah.
Yeah. So I think Britain is rife with the spirit world. I think there's a lot. There's more places here you could go to. And this building where we are now, it's
haunted.
Yeah, it's nearly 600 years old. So there would have been a gentleman here every year of great stature, great dignified gentleman that would have come and looked after the town of Stafford, which is where we are. And if royalty ever came to Stafford, they'd have probably had to go through the sheriff to come, you know, through here. So if this building could talk, it would have lots to say.
Yeah.
But hopefully we'll be able to hear it one day and record it and show it to you. That's the thing, Crystal. We'll be able to get some evidence or invite you over to come and see it for yourself.
Yeah.
to get there if it ever ends. I hope to travel over there soon.
Well, we are going to set up a camera here called our Ghost Cam, and it's where we invite everybody, like all you lovely people in America, will be able to tune into our link and see our building. Midnight as such, and see what's going on during the night. So it's going to be a live webcam.
Some psychic experiments.
Psychic experiments. We're going to set the camera up so you're all be invited so you can actually see for yourself, because we don't know what happens when we go home. So, you know, to go home and look back in the building, we have a trigger doll called Annie, and we've set her up on a little rocking chair.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a camera there to see if the rocking chair rocks. In fact, the other morning I came in and she'd moved. Annie had moved. Yeah. But, of course, there was no cameras set up. So I want to know what happened. How does she move? So we're going to set up cameras everywhere very soon. For October this will be.
End of October.
For November. November time. And then we'll be able to send you the links so you can send them. You can show your lovely viewers. Yeah.
So I was going to wait until after the break to discuss your building, but I'm going to ask you now about it.
Yeah, we do like to talk quite a lot, don't we?
I know. Sorry. Tell us to shut up.
Tell us about this building.
Well, it's in Stafford. It's like, York. It's all like, the black and white Tudor buildings, very old buildings. And where we are is a black and white Tudor building. And we think we've got one of the earliest dates is 1420. Yeah.
There are different dates. We haven't found out the definitive date yet when it was built, but we've seen different things on the internet. Some say it's 15th century, some say it's 16th century. Then we've seen somewhere that it's 1420. So there's different views all over the place about it. We've got to look more into that. But yeah, it's a traditional Tudor building, the black and white building, wattle and daub inside. Nothing's level. Wattle and daub. And wattle is like your plaster walls. Yeah. Back in the day, you wouldn't use plaster. It was like a mud mix, mud and pig poo.
Yeah.
And all kinds, all pushed into like a willow branch frame.
Oh,
so I used to build them.
Described that lovely.
Did I? Yeah. Oh, thank you very much.
And tiny little doorways.
Tiny doorways.
Small.
Yeah, we are always banging our heads.
Yeah.
I've got a constant score on my head. They must have been a lot smaller back in the day. But yeah, it's a beautiful building. It really is. And it's in a lovely street. It's very Cotswoldy.
Yeah, sure. Shamble.
I've seen a picture of it. It looks like it's actually pitched a little forward or something.
Everything's wonky. Yeah.
Yeah.
and it sort of sticks out a bit because there's a reason why they did that in England, wasn't it, with the buildings?
Yeah, because they used to charge so much ground rent for the building. So they actually would build a level on the ground level, then build up and out on the upper level, because you got to charge for the actual ground, not for up ways. So all your Tudor buildings you'll find are built up and out, and up and out.
So you'd go past, you see a lot of these Tudor buildings that stick out, they're practically touching each other, and some of them, and that's what ours are like, it sticks out.
Yeah, it sticks out.
That's where I do my tarot readings from that room, my psychic parlour, and you sort of look out onto the lovely cobbled street. Oh, it's just beautiful. And it feels, the energy in here feels pure. And you know why? There's been no investigations ever in this place, never. Nobody's come, it's always had a business in this building. So we're the only people that have come in here now who are on the paranormal side. So we haven't done a vigil yet.
Yet. As a time.
Yeah.
Too busy decorating the place.
Too busy doing it all.
But that's not to say we haven't felt things and seen things, because we have. There's been two separate. I've seen a shadow which came across the room. And my stepfather also saw a shadow that went straight past him. So the thing's been seen already without us doing anything. So I think people here, ghosties here, are just telling us, hey, we're around, seeing what you're doing.
They're seeing who we are, we're seeing who they are. But then at some point we will actually sit down, just me and Mark, and we'll say, right, get all the equipment out and let's speak to the people and see who they are, speak to the spirits and tell them that we're not here to hurt them, we're just here to share the space with them. And then I think it's just going to come alive. That's my feeling. I think it's going to go bang, because there's hundreds of layers in this building. And it's in history.
It has so much history. I mean, other than being a chef's office, I mean, we do know in the past it's been a bakery.
Yeah.
It's been a wireless shop.
Yeah.
It's been a baby's clothes shop.
Yeah.
And we found out a little bit about each business going back about 100 years. So when we finished the one of the rooms, we're going to put bits of photographs and a bit of a story about the building on the wall. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that'll entice some of the spirits out who may have been here. When he's a baker might be walking around, or the wireless guy might be walking around.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
It's this is why I want to set up the ghost cam as well, so people can see inside the building. It is the most beautiful place, and it's untouched. Nobody's really been in here.
Sure,
So I do a lot of healing and crystal healing in here, and it's got such a lovely energy for that. I do pyramid healing, so people can sit in the pyramid and have a beautiful sacred space. I've got crystals everywhere, and I've created a sacred space in here, so it feels really good. But we're also going to be doing our cremation ashes, because we make keepsakes, healing generators, which is similar to Organite, and they're called healing generators, and we put people's cremation ashes in them as keepsakes for the people. So we're going to have lots of different cremation ashes in here as well. So I think that's going to add to the whole spiritual feel of it.
It's going to be a very spiritual building.
Very spiritual, beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that. Absolutely love that. I know you guys have been doing a lot of work to that building. Has the activity kind of kicked up because of that?
We're not sure about that.
Yeah, we're not sure.
Really. Yeah, we didn't know what the activity was like here before. But, I say it was weird that
we haven't moved any walls or anything.
No, we haven't knocked anything down or changed anything structurally. But like I say, we felt things and seen the shadows walking around. You can feel it when you walk in. You can feel something as you walk in, and that's me as not a psychic person, because I'm not psychic. But you can feel. Everybody's got a sixth sense, and you can feel something. You know when somebody's around. So you do feel that quite often.
But we haven't like.
Yeah,
because it's called a Grade 1 listed building, so it's there's rules, so you're not allowed to change the windows, or the windows are sort of painted closed, aren't they? You're not allowed.
You can't really do anything structurally to it.
Other than
to repair it, but then you have to repair it in a certain way.
Yeah,
you know.
So we've painted it and made it look nice, and we talked to it, yeah. Decorated it. So I'll go, hello, beautiful building like this.
We're not crazy, honestly.
And I put my crystals up and go, hello. And then at night I'll go, bye, beautiful building, see you in the morning. I'm literally waving to it. And we leave all our candles, not real candles, because it's a timber building.
It's not a good idea.
Battery operated candles.
Yeah.
We leave them all in the windows and that. So from the outside, it looks so beautiful. And I just think it helps. I feel like we've made the house happy. It feels happy.
We're looking after it. That's what we're looking after it sympathetically, because we love the building. It's 600 years old. So we're looking after it.
Yeah, it stood here. Through both the big world wars we've had, this has been stood here for hundreds of years. So it's earned respect. So that's why we're very respectful to it. Mm. And, you know, it's also about the ground it's on. The ground it's on is very special, because there's ley lines and all sorts throughout the earth. And it feels it's got a good energy underneath it as well. So there's just something quite... prestigious and respectful, isn't it? It's the most photographed building. Everybody takes photographs of it.
This area of town
is there any elementals there?
I think there is. No. Yes, I definitely think there is. Mark doesn't know, but I think there is, because there's a few different layers. And on the ground floor, I think there is. I feel something.
That's where I'll be working.
Yeah, that's where Mark will be. There's another energy. There's another energy that comes in now and again, and I think something playful. There's something playful in here. And there's a couple of times when I've been doing my healing, I felt something tug my trousers, and it wasn't child. It was more elemental, I felt. So I thought, at some point I'll sit in. We'll really find out, so we know exactly who's here then. We'll know exactly what it is.
We'll probably do a seance or something, won't we?
Yeah, because we go to all these buildings to do this, but because this is our special building, we want to make sure that we do it respectfully and properly, and we just want to sit down and quietly do it with each other. Then, because I've got a patron site where I have people. Anyone can join, even you wonderful, beautiful Americans. It's an exclusive club where you can join and subscribe to me. And then I take you all on a live investigation with the power of my iPad. Yeah. So I carry you all around, or I'd sit you all here in the building, and we all just go live. So, and I'll say, is there any spirit people here? And if no one answers me, I'll say, right, does anyone of my patrons want to use their voice? Because sometimes they connect to their voice. So you're at home, snuggled up in bed, like with the blankets around you. I'm actually taking you around the building. It's great.
Well, there'll be great.
You'll be just waking up in the morning, the time zone, but Crystal, we'll bring you on one of them. We'll do our live investigation and we'll say, come on, join us,
take
and
the dungeon.
You'll be here joining us, and when we go to our castles, we'll say, we can go live. Do you want to come with us, Crystal? And you'll be able to, you will take you live. You can join our patrons, you'll love them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great.
How do you discern between fairies and and human spirits, or if it's just a recording? Is there a specific feeling you get?
Yes, there will be a very strong feeling. When we go to, like, the woods as such, you kind of expect to feel some elementals, but then there is a feeling of the darker side, which I steer away from, because my energy is very light and bright, and I don't want it to be affected by certain dark energies out there. So I would probably steer away from that. But you do get, as in humans, you've got goodies and baddies. As in the fairy world, you've got goodies and baddies. And it's not, you know, wherever, and also the other interstellar communication. So you've got the galactic angels, you've got all sorts of, we're all here sharing this universe. So you can find all sorts of different people and different elementals, different fairies and different mythical creatures around you. And the mythical creatures are very good at shape-shifting. So you might see them as one thing and then they might change into another. And I just think if you've got a finely tuned intuition or a spirit guide that can guide you, you'll know what you're dealing with. And because I have 18 spirit guides that have been with me since I was little, and they, so there isn't just the one. So I know that I would know by them which one, what I'm dealing with. So usually they would let me know as well.
I never know. I just stumble into
things. And Mark would just get his camera out and go, where is it?
Yeah. I just stumble into things blindly. it's got a knife. All right, okay, let's just go.
Mark uses some amazing equipment. But one of them, do you know the SLS camera, Crystal? The one that shows, it's amazing.
No.
Tell people about SLS camera.
Okay, well, it's based on the Xbox 360. What's it called? The
sensor.
Yeah. It's based on that, and that fires out an infrared beam, and it's used for the gaming worlds because obviously that beam then picks up joints in a person's body, and makes a skeleton, and that's how they play their games because the sensor recognizes it's a person moving. But what this does, with some software you can download, you can use that sensor with the software and it will form a skeleton if the person in front of it. So if it films me, it will film my skeleton waving around, if I'm waving, of course. But if nobody's standing in front of that camera and it forms a skeleton, where's it form that skeleton from? So it basically picks up joints and forms a skeleton. We've had some great results with that before now. We went to a church locally and I was standing in a big aisle filming with the SLS camera. There's nothing in front of me. It was pitch black and a skeleton forming in front of me, and it responded to my requests. I asked it to wave its arms and it waved its arms. So it's a brilliant bit of kit. I think it's quite a lot of ghost hunting teams use it now, but we've used it. It's a brilliant effect, really, really good effect.
Because at the end of the day, it's all very well, a psychic standing there going, oh, I can see a spirit in front of me. Well, you can't see the spirit in front of you. So when Mark actually shows you, there it is, there's the skeleton.
Yeah.
That's the real wow, because then you can all see it. And it's about everybody being able to see it, not just trusting that I can see it. Yeah. So that's why we love using that camera.
Yeah, it's a great bit. It's
solid evidence. It's no longer just a psychic. They're saying what they feel. Yes. There's actual
I don't like to say evidence.
My favorite is always
the P word. It's fact, because I mean, what Helen's seen is fact, but like this proves beyond doubt there's something there.
Just means anyone can see, which is great,
You guys, we have to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll continue talking about your building.
Thank you.
You're listening to Small Town Tales, with stories of the paranormal, haunting legends, and all things spirit, with your host, C.L. Thomas.
Hi, I'm C.L. Thomas, author and creator of Small Town Tales podcast. I would like to personally invite you to a special broadcast with Haunted History BC every Friday in October. That's right. Every Friday, we will have a brand new spooky tale to share, from haunted schools to haunted pubs. We got the ghosts and the ghouls and legends all covered. Also, we will be giving away spooky prizes every Friday on Instagram. To be entered into the Friday drawings, all you need to do is subscribe and share my Instagram account. Visit www.clthomas.org for more information. Dead things to give away include Special Haunted History BC swag, Zach Bagan's Haunted Museum t-shirts, and more. Visit www.clthomas.org.
And we're back, and my special guests, psychic medium Helen Lawson and Mark Levitt Harris. They're here to discuss their brilliant Tudor building in England. What really draws me to you guys is you're able to decipher, discern, record evidence, and then heal both the client and sometimes even the spirit energy that resides in that building. Can you guys comment a little about the kind of work that you do?
Yeah, so I am a psychic and a healer. So I have lots of different clients that come to see me for different reasons. Some may just come for a reading, they just want to know where they're going in life. Some may come for healing, so I can help to rebalance them and help to draw out any anxiety or depression or, you know, any black clouds they may have. Some may come to see us because they have got a haunting, which is different. That's when we would go with our equipment and try and heal the building, you know, because what we always try and do is remove the spirit by asking them to go to the light. It's not, we don't want to leave them with the spirit. And most of the time, the spirits don't want to be locked in their house for their life. They want to be free. We all have a spirit journey that we're supposed to continue. You're supposed to continue your spirit journey. So a lot of the time, when we do our investigation, we actually go to help them to move on. It's all about moving on. And to be honest, even the living, when they come to see me, it's about moving on. Because I have a lot of people who are stuck in their life, whether it's their job or with their partner or whether it's through bereavement. So helping them to move forward is what it's all about. And helping the spirit, if we do an investigation, to move forward is what it's all about. I always say we are spirit people having a human experience, a human existence, and we're all supposed to live our best life. So if you need a bit of help now and again, like going to a healer, going to a psychic or a bit of guidance, then there's nothing wrong with that. It's nice to be able to sometimes you need a light shining on your path so you can continue your journey. And that goes for the ghosts. They need to continue their journey. They need to follow the light. So it's all about moving forward, Crystal.
Can you tell me a little bit about the pyramid structure that you use in your
healing? I'm a pyramidologist. I'm fascinated with the pyramids. I'm fascinated with how it all works. So it's called sacred geometry, and it's about the measurements of the pyramid. So, and what they do to what they do in a healing sense is phenomenal. So where it all began in a nutshell was many, many years ago, back in ancient Egypt, animals would wander around and get lost inside the pyramids. And they would then die of starvation. And then years later, the Egyptians would find these dead animals, but they hadn't rotted. So nobody quite knew why they had preserved. So they got science involved later on in life. Scientists got involved and realized that a certain angle of a pyramid, especially if it's called the golden ratio, especially if it's like 51.4 degrees, which is the same as the Great Pyramid of Giza, that creates a cyclonic energy And it's the cyclonic energy that's magical. So it draws in an energy straight from direct from the cosmos down, and then it brings up the Earth's natural magnetic energy, and it meets where the actual incline is of the pyramid, and it spins, and it's called cyclonic energy. So anybody that sits inside a pyramid shape, the energy is moving around them all the time, and it's so powerful. It heals every part of you. It regenerates your skin cells. It gives you a nice young glow. If you put a razor blade in there, it would sharpen the razor blade. Any food that you put in a pyramid will never rot. It will just dehydrate. Milk will never sour. Sometimes electrical equipment is a little bit difficult to use in there because of this strong energy that's moving around you. But it will make you feel amazing. Some people even have a whole pyramid that they sleep in, just to give you good dreams, rebalance you, make you feel recharged, ready for the next day. I always say hospitals should be shaped pyramid shapes because it works. It's been proven that it works. If you get a Kirlian camera, a Kirlian camera helps you to see energy. You'd see the energy spinning around, this cyclonic energy, and you'd see what it was doing to people. So I've set up a little beautiful pyramid, in a crystal light pyramid. So you're sitting there bathing in the pyramid energy, bathing in the crystal light, and it's beautiful. And I would say 20 minutes is about enough. You're supposed to have, like, say 20 minutes a week, and it keeps all your chakras balanced. It keeps your energy, your aura strong, which helps to fight illness, and it promotes good health, and it makes you feel amazing.
So clients can actually go to your shop, and you have an actual structure that you built.
Yes.
This pyramid.
So we've got, our shop, so we're called Gifted. So the shop's called Gifted with Heavenly Hand. And people will come in, but it's usually appointment-based, and they will come and have a pyramid with me. I also have a crystal light bed where I lie people down, and it shines light through each chakra, which again, it illuminates the aura. It's very, very powerful. Even in ancient Egypt, they found like glass, coloured glass blocks in the pyramids where they think sunlight shone through and shone a light through each chakra. So shining light through your chakra really is ancient. But now it's looking like it's all modern because they've just created the machinery to do it. We're a little bit slow when it comes on the healing. We think we've created things when really it's going back to the original source. So my light room, I call it the crystal light bathing room. And you go in, you can either sit in the pyramid or lie under the chakra bed. And it's really powerful. 20 minutes a week, you'll feel amazing. You could take on the world. Why have stress where you can just sit in a pyramid for 20 minutes and feel amazing?
Well, I did the Reiki session with you, even from across the ocean, and it did wonders. Can you explain a little bit?
Well, the way Reiki works is quite phenomenal. I'm a Reiki master. I've been, I'm a natural healer. And by the time I got to into my 20s, I'd been healing forever and ever by then. And I was starting to feel a little bit drained because I was using my own energy. So I was attuned to Reiki energy, which is an ancient Japanese art. It's the most amazing healing energy. And it bypasses your critical faculties. In other words, it bypasses your own energy and it comes through you. So whilst I'm giving a treatment, I'm receiving a treatment. So it's a natural flow. So when it comes to yourself, Crystal, I tuned in to you, to wherever you were. It's not remote viewing. It's different to that. I'm sending the energy, the light to you. So I send it across the ocean, no matter where you are. And there's certain ancient symbols, which are sacred. And I sort of draw upon these symbols. And then I send the light to you, and then you feel it no matter where you are. And people think, wow, I won't be able to feel that. And you can. I've come to you and done a full healing session on you across the water. And that's what's so amazing because somebody said to me once, how does it work? How does it work? And I said, well, because we're all connected. So, you know, it's quantum physics. We're all connected. So I'm just sending a healing energy through my connection to your connection. And I mean, nobody really understands how a telephone works. You know, I'm phoning you, you're hearing me. How am I speaking to you now on the internet? We can't see the internet rays, but I can send healing the same way. It's an invisible energy that I'm sending to you. And you can send it just by thought. But I send it, I personally use the Yusui Reiki symbols by sending it that way. And it's beautiful. And we both felt great that day, didn't we, Crystal? It's a lovely.
Amazed about how much it worked without going into too much detail about what was going on at the time.
It gives you a clear head. So because I would say, you know, we can't change what life throws at us, so but you can change how you react to it by having a nice clear head, nice and balanced, feeling strong and feeling ultimately healed. So that's the most important thing. And you can send it through time and space. You can send it to the past and you can send it to the future and you can send it to heaven. You can just send it everywhere. And the more people, it's called transmission healing. And the more people that want to heal the world and send out these good vibrations, the better the world will be.
It's so interesting. Is there a specific client that you've had that you can talk about without saying who the client was, that it's really, you saw just such a transformational.
There's so many. I honestly wouldn't know where to begin. There's so many. I've been doing it for many, many years. And I have a lot of clients that come in. I always say a little bit broken. You know, they've had a bad life. they could have been, you know, beaten or had a bad life, have no confidence and feel broken and come to see me as a last resort. And then by the end of the sessions, they always say, I wish I'd come to see you first, not left you till last, because really that's all you need really is to come for some healing. So then I would usually do some tarot reading with them, use my crystal ball, see where they've been in life, give them some evidence, show them that I know what I'm talking about. So show them, you know, so I can see their life and then show them where they're going and then give them the tools to get there by doing the healing, because I'm not pushing them into their future. I'm just saying, these are the tools. Now you're feeling good. You're feeling balanced. Now it's up to you. This is what your life can be if you just take that step. And then they usually come back time and time again. I've got most of my clients, in fact, I don't really know any clients that haven't come back again. So they'll tell me then, they'll come back and say, do you remember how I was last year? Now look at me. So I've had some really, really, really good results. And years ago, I lived in a little island called Jersey, Channel Islands, and I did some healing there where you weren't supposed to do it. And I went to a hospital and I was called there by somebody who had was in terrible agony, and he was on morphine and he was in a terrible state, and I just put my hand straight on his he had a problem with his back, so I put my hand straight on his back, which I never do. I'm away from people, and it left a burnt hand mark on his back, and he instantly got better. And when the consultant came round, they said in the notes, spontaneously improved with a strange handprint on his back. And it was all written because he just got better and he left the hospital, and that was that. And he was due to go under the knife. He was due to have an operation. So I always say, you don't have to believe in it, but if you could just be open to it, because if you get somebody sitting there saying, well, prove it to me, it's very difficult. I have a lot of people saying, it's just it's placebo. You're telling me I'm going to feel better, and that's why I am better. But then my answer to that is, a dying plant doesn't know you're going to make it feel better. And you can heal dying plants. You can heal animals, and they don't know what you're about to do. So it's not about what you say, and it's not about the ambiance, even though I love to create ambiance. It's about that energy, that pure energy. We've all got it. We were put on this earth with all the tools to live a good, healthy life. And one of those tools was self-healing. It's just, we don't know how to tune into it. That's all it is.
So Mark, you make Mr. Products that tie into all of this as well.
Yeah, we make the healing generators, which are very much like Organite, but we call them healing generators. So yeah, I use crystals and metals in a resin. We also make the 51.4 degree pyramids. So we use that with crystals and metals in there to heal your iron-filled house, ions-filled house, basically.
From
all your electrical equipment. Because your house, your workplace, anywhere, is filled with negative ions from all your electrical equipment. So these healing generators that we make take those negative ions out of the air and produce positive ions, which repair your aura, which will then give you a general feeling of wellness. So we make them look pretty as well. So, I mean, I see lots of these different things online all over the place. They aren't made to look pretty, but ours do. So we use a lot of 24 karat gold and sterling silver in our products and things. And the good thing about them is we also put the cremation ashes in them as well. We have different things for cremation ashes. We do a doggy paw for doggy ashes. We do a cat for cat's ashes, because, you know, lots of people have got ashes lying around that they've had for years, don't know what to do with them. So we enable them to have a little keepsake of their little pet or anything, and then they can release those ashes but still have that bit that they want to keep for them. So we do that, and we do cremation ashes for humans too. So we have a big star for that, or a pyramid, or anything really. It depends on what the client wants. We can generally make pretty much anything. I can mold anything and do anything. So, it's a very satisfying job actually doing that, the cremation ashes particularly, because somebody comes to you a little bit broken, like Alan says, and you produce something beautiful for them to keep and to have forever, because that's why we call them forever products, because it's forever. Yeah. We call it for Eva, because Alan's mum was called Eva, and yeah, she passed away sadly a few years back now, and yeah, we call it for Eva products, in her honour. So it's a nice thing to do. It's nice to give somebody something lovely with their loved one in there, and then they can have some closure then with the rest of the ashes, if you like, to go and spread or scatter them where they want to scatter them, but have a little bit left just for them.
Yeah, so. And also the actual healing generators really do heal you. Mm. So it cleans your aura, it rebalances you, and it helps with grief. So not only, I mean, you don't have to have the cremation ashes. We do them, you know, dousing pendulums, all sorts of candle holders, beautiful. But when it does come to that, people want their loved one's ashes going in there, it does help to heal the grief. So it's the nicest closure that we can do for somebody.
Yeah, we do a chakra balancing domes as well. So you put those on each of your chakras and it's lie there for 15 minutes. You become a different person. Everything gets rebalanced. You're feeling much better. And I'm a skeptic. Don't forget, I've told you I'm a skeptic and all this. And I've done that. And I've laid there with these on. And I felt better.
Yeah.
So, you know, and other than the sales pitch, it did work. It worked for me. So we do lots of different things in that respect.
But can I just tell you something funny? The skeptic here, Mark, and one of my lovely customers came in and asked for her doggy ashes to be, but she couldn't do it. She couldn't open the casket. So Mark is very gentle. He's very gentle with it. And he opened the casket and he took some ashes out. And he said, your doggy was lovely with this lovely brown and black paws. And the lady said, how do you know? And I said to you, how do you know?
I thought you told me.
I don't know.
I thought he told me.
He definitely said, you saw that. You sensed it. You saw the paws, didn't
you? Yeah, I kind of saw the dog. Really, yeah. In my mind. Like a dog with brown paws.
So there you go. Yeah. So
maybe there's something.
Maybe it's a little bit more psychic than it realises.
But the smells are definitely something that I do pick up on sometimes.
Yeah, and the ghostly places.
Ghostly places. But they are brilliant things to make. I love making them. It lets my creative juices flow.
Yeah.
And it's a nice reaction when somebody gets them back.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Well, you guys, we are at a time. Love talking to you guys about
it's
all of
been
this.
Amazing. I just want to say, basically, when I've done all this, it's always been face to face in a room, just me and someone else doing a reading, doing healing. Now the world's changed, and due to COVID, we are all so used to going online now, and it's been amazing for us because I've been able to do videos online, you know, send my healing online, and now we've set up Patreon. This is just fantastic because people can join our club. So rather than saying, well, the next time I'm in Stafford, we'll see you, you can say, no, just sign up and you'll see me tonight live. So I can be with you all. Anybody listening to this can join us on Patreon. It's just Heavenly Helen Patreon. They can come and join us with our live investigations. I do a live tarot every month. I do healing every month.
Lessons.
Hypnosis every month. Yeah. Psychic development classes. Yeah. Okay. We do Zoom classes, all sorts of things. So I always say we'll explore the paranormal realms together. So even though once we've gone home and left this building to sleep at night, we then go home and open up the world of patrons. So it's a great sort of exclusive. It's like being invited to an exclusive party, isn't it? Our paranormal party.
Talking about parties, nowhere parties better than Las Vegas.
Oh, we love Las Vegas.
Oh, my God.
What a pleasure.
I love America.
So
I love Americans,
lucky.
But I particularly love Las Vegas. Mind you, I love the Grand Canyon as well.
Yeah.
You're so lucky.
We want to explore America more, don't we? Yeah.
God, yes. If you need us over there anytime, just, you know.
Yeah.
Give us a call.
We'll be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we're doing lots of classes, Zoom classes, we are now, because we're called Gifted, we're going to do a Gifted Academy where we create classes in little packages. So people can just buy the packages and it will have like 12 classes on different psychic development, or they might want to buy the paranormal package where we teach you how to be an investigator and what to look for, that sort of thing. So we'll be selling these classes in one package with lots of different lessons worldwide. Anyone will be able to buy them. And so this room that we're talking to you from now, thank goodness your listeners can't see it, because it's a bit all over the place. But
it's a bit of a bomb size.
This will be our studio, and this is where we're going to make all our videos. So you will get all these classes in one package wherever you are in the world. So that's coming soon.
That's coming soon. A lot of other things are coming soon. We've got so many things coming soon. We're sitting down and getting time while we're doing the buildings at the issue, but they will be coming very soon.
Yes.
Yeah. I would say by the end of October, we'll have everything sort of tickety-boo and up and running.
Yes.
That's the plan. We always have a plan.
Well, you guys, it's really nice having you on the show. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thanks for having us. We've loved it. Thank you.
Thank you.